You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah. Hey there, Sarah from Thanks for Visiting. Really pumped about this episode. We're actually turning the table a little bit. Instead of interviewing a host, we're interviewing what should be a super guest. We have super host. We have a super guest. Hayden Lee is a podcast host of Travel Stories Podcast, which is phenomenal. And he's been traveling since 2013. He's got a tremendous story. We, of course, ask him about the worst Airbnb experience, his best Airbnb experience. And he leaves us with this really great inspirational message about how we too can live our dream. And we always say that's kind of what we're about on the show. So really pumped for you to tune in and sit back. It's going to be pretty great. Welcome to another episode of Thanks for Visiting. Here with Sarah, and we are super excited. We have one of my guests, actually. He's been a guest for about the last 10 days, Hayden Lee. He is a world traveler. He's going to tell us all about his Airbnb experiences around the world, and he's been on the road since 2013, I think we've come to decide today. So welcome to the show, Hayden.
Hi, how's it going?
Awesome. I've had the pleasure of actually working with Hayden the past couple of days too. So our relationship more is just more than guest and host. So let's get into our barrage of questions that Sarah and I are chomping at the bit to ask you as a guest. You're our first actual guest on the show.
That's
Airbnb guest.
Oh, so, that's so cool.
Yeah. So let's get started on the road, which to me means you have no permanent residence since 2013.
That's right.
All right. Awesome. And most of your time is spent in Airbnbs. Was that the plan? Like, hey, I'm going to travel and just stay in Airbnbs? Or did you have a plan?
The original plan keeps true as well. The original plan is to have no plan. That's the main plan, you know? And so Airbnb is good for that, because when you have no plan, it's always there, you know? It makes it really easy to have no plan, which is fantastic, you know? So it started out very much no plan. And we were talking about this earlier, when in 2013, I was living I don't want to say normal standard life as if it's derogatory, because it's not, but I was living the life with my girlfriend, and we had an apartment and stuff like this. And then she said, we should sell off all our stuff and move to Australia. And I said, yeah, that sounds good. And then we did a week later. We moved to Queensland, and then went all through there, and then Melbourne. I've got too many stories. You don't want to get me started on the stories from Australia. And then, and since then, it's been going all around wherever I can go. And Airbnb has been really good for that.
Had you stayed in an Airbnb before you left on your trip?
No, I don't think so. Not before 2013. I know that for a fact. But this last trip was where I've been using Airbnb most.
Okay.
Yeah, it really fit the trip.
I feel like Airbnb, it didn't start in 2008. And so by 13, it still wasn't very prominent. Was it hard to find good spots?
Well, that's it. I mean, it's one of those things where it always starts. If it's an American company, it always, which I believe Airbnb is.
Yeah, they are.
Yep.
It fills up America a little bit. And then as soon as it's kind of in the dialogue in America, that's when it starts to happen around the world. There's always a little waiting period, you know?
Yeah.
And so for places like the UK and Australia, you always have to wait a little bit longer. But yeah, it's, I don't know, it depends where you go. Well, it seems obvious, but wherever you go, it can be tougher or way easier to find somewhere that's, you know, find an Airbnb. Like in the middle of rural Poland, it's a lot more difficult than in Barcelona.
Sure.
You know? But yeah, it's, but there always is one. That's the thing. There always is one.
We need to tell our listeners. We just actually like trolled through Hayden's Airbnb profile and wanted to take a look at all the places that he stayed. And yeah, there were some interesting...
Questionable.
Yeah, okay. Questionable places. The photos were very interesting, but yeah. You said sometimes like there isn't... You just got to go with what's there.
Sometimes needs must. And I mean, obviously I have some horror stories, which...
Wait, so I need to know the horrorist of horror stories.
Yeah. Let us know. Let our listeners know.
This one's perfect because it was 50% amazing and the perfect Airbnb, and 50% everyone I've told would hate to go there.
Okay.
So this was in rural Poland. This was near Warsaw, a bit north of Warsaw, and it was a converted barn. I use the word converted lightly. There was a converted barn, and it was owned by this old woman that lived in the house next to the barn, right? All signs at the moment are pointing to lovely, rustic Polish barn.
Yeah.
Sounds nice, right? Went in there, the furniture, very nice. Very, like, original, obviously. It was, you know, it was really nice. And then evening came, right? And I turned the light off to go to sleep, right? And then all I could hear was just... these tapping sounds, just like tap, and then you'd wait a bit, and then tap, another one. It was quite loud. I was thinking, what is that? Turn the light on. Nothing's there, right? So I'm thinking, and then I turn the light off again, same tapping sound. So I'm thinking, what's going on here? Turns out, all right, what it was, I turned the light on again after about 15 minutes this time. I let it go for a little longer. And it turns out what the tapping sound was there were these beetles, and they were...
No.
They were about the size of maybe two quarters, right? And what they did, their special move, was they would be crawling on the ceiling.
Their special move.
Yeah. And then they would kamikaze down and then land on the floor. And so I must admit, I found a book, right? And I went around, destroyed all the... Oh, man, I'll tell you.
How many were there?
Many, many. I mean, I must have taken the life of... 50 beetles, something like that. And see, the problem is, their attack was actually the worst thing they could do, because as soon as they land, I know where they are.
Yeah.
I know you're there, Ringo, I get him, right? And so after a while of doing that, I thought, right, I've got all of them. Turn the light off. After about 10 or 20 seconds, tap, one lands right on my chest.
I would have run out of there.
Yeah, yeah.
You would have been.
And then, this same place. You know when you sleep and there's like a bit of your own hair kind of on your face, and it's just annoying you a bit.
No,
I don't
want to
know.
It was like, you know, when you can kind of see it a bit. It was like that, and I thought, oh, my hair's in my... because I had longer hair than I do now. Hair's in my hair. Did that. Wasn't my hair. It was a spider's leg.
No, that is actually my biggest fear.
Yeah, spider's leg. Yeah.
Well, let's be fair. Do you remember how much you paid for the place?
Oh yeah, no. I don't think it was unfair for the place for that. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was not a lot of money, and the woman was amazing. It obviously wasn't her fault,
right?
And it was just the time of year, exactly. And I don't mind those things,
right.
You know.
You two are so much nicer than I am.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not paying to have beetles fall.
I love that there's, I mean, don't know her age, but there's this woman in rural Poland that's taking it, that's a part of the Airbnb community.
How good is
and
that?
It's amazing. I love her, and I don't even know her. But
it's so good. Like, there's so many questions. How did she find out about it?
And, right.
You know, it's
I
so
want
good.
To interview her.
Yeah. Oh, we'll see if I can get in touch.
Let's flip the script, though. Let's talk about the amazing places that you've stayed, that you've been blown away by your amenities that they have, by the hosts themselves. Let's talk about if you have any that like standouts in your mind.
I really do. I remember one. So this was in the south of Spain, just east of Granada, near the what's the mountain called? Mountain range. Never mind. And it was perfect. So I needed it for around 2 weeks, right? Because I had to take over some of the business stuff. There was some things happening in the business I had to take over, right? And at that time, I had picked up a hitchhiker. I left him in the hippie commune we were staying in. This story is very multifaceted.
Okay.
So I was just looking for a place nearby.
Okay.
And then I found one, and it said, seven bed place near the mountains, stuff like this. And it was the same price as kind of the rest, what you'd expect for a two-bed place or one-bed place. And this is an entire place. I thought, that's weird. Maybe it's just one room in it. I don't know. And I thought, I'll talk to the person anyway. And I said, is this for the whole place? And she said, yeah, it is. Come on over, right? And so I went over, and it was just me, and I said, yeah, I'll take it, because it did have all the seven bedrooms. It was lovely, rustic. Everything there was kind of rustic. All these mezzanine levels, and all the beds were just lovely. Big fireplace, and one of those pizza ovens outside, one of the big brick ones. Swimming pool, a view of the mountain range, which I wish I could remember what it was called. And it was just beautiful. And the people were so nice. They were... See, I'd never usually like the hosts. I never usually like a lot of interaction with the hosts.
Okay.
But this one was fantastic. Like, she was just there, anything you need, anything I needed, you know? And even, I think it was the gas. The gas ran out, the gas bottles, you know, and you change them over. I said, oh, the gas has run out. Have you got another bottle somewhere? And she goes, oh, we don't, but, you know, you can go down the shop and change it over. She said, if you do that, you can have a week for free. I said, what?
What?
She said, and I didn't even have to pay to change over the thing. Because
so she wasn't on site with you. You weren't staying with her.
No, they left and they were elsewhere. And she just said, yeah, if you do that, you do that. And I think it was one of those things where it was just such a lovely place. And there's not a lot of people go to that specific area, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a bit of a diamond in the rough, really. It was a really nice place. Really nice.
Do you normally stay where the host is still on site, or do you like it when you have the whole place to yourself?
See, it's different. It depends. I think I was explaining it to Sarah really. When you're on a trip and when you're not traveling with someone, sometimes, so I was on the motorcycle, right? And you start to talk to the bike because you haven't talked to someone in about 2 weeks, right? And you start to talk to the bike, which, as I was saying before, is absolutely fine, except for when the bike starts talking back to you. That's right. When you've got to find some people.
You had like, right? A horror situation.
Exactly, right?
Okay.
And so then I want to find some people and talk to some people and learn their story and find out about them. And you really do. It's something about accepting someone into your home that makes you instantly vulnerable to them. And it's something about going into someone's home that makes you instantly vulnerable to them. And that's the basis of good conversation, of good connection, that vulnerability, man. You know?
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. Let's tell our listeners, though, like I said, I've been working with Hayden the past couple of days, and I was blown away. I had no idea really about his story. Hayden is, obviously he's been, hasn't had a residence for several years. He's been traveling and he has a podcast himself and that is Travel Stories. And we'll plug that later. But he just finished this like amazing feat that I think he's the only person that we know of that's ever done it. So tell our listeners what you've done.
Yeah, I've got to try and remember the wording because it's a bit convoluted, but it's the first person to ever go through every country in mainland Europe on a motorcycle. There you go.
Which
it's a little bit long-winded, but
and continuously.
Continuously, yeah.
That's the kicker, right?
Yeah, in one trip.
One trip.
In one trip, yeah.
How do you find out that you've done, like, that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do, yeah. There's a lot of communities where it comes to, so long-distance motorcycle travel is, like, a thing in itself.
Okay.
You know? And so there's a lot of people have done, say, for example, every state in America,
sure.
You know, things like that. And this was something that no one had really done. One person did something close to it by accident like a few years ago, 2006, and they did 38 countries or something like that, just because they weren't trying. And so they didn't do the little countries of, you know, Andorra and Liechtenstein, where like seven people live, you know.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I just thought, well, the reason I did it was because I just got the motorcycle. I thought, well, I'll go to London, you know, check it out, because I live about 3 hours from London. I thought, if I'm going to London, I might as well go to France. Might as well go to Paris, right? And then I thought, if I'm going to France, I might as well go to Spain. And then I thought, if I'm going to Spain, I might as well go to every country in mainland Europe. Why not?
Yeah.
And so I just did that, and it was a good trip.
How long did it take you?
Like 11, 12 months, something like that.
It's kind of magical.
It was fun. It sounds like a weird plug, but it probably wouldn't have been possible without Airbnb. In fact, I think it would have, and this is another thing we were talking about earlier, it would have been possible without Airbnb. I did a lot of camping. I love that. And obviously there's hotels, which I don't like to go to too much. And it would have been possible, but it wouldn't have been as good.
Right.
It's not unlike wine or chocolate. You know, you can live without it, but it's not as good.
Because I was asking him earlier, I was like, well, what if Airbnb wasn't around? Like, and Airbnb started in 2008. Mm. And before then, it's weird to stay at someone's home that you don't know.
That's so true, yeah.
But, you know, now it's quite common. So how awesome that it kind of intersected this time in your life when you wanted to do that traveling.
Totally,
right?
Yeah.
But we were asking earlier, because Annette and I talk about this as hosts, when people book our places the day of. Mm. We're like, why are they, how do they not plan? Like, how do they not know they're going to be here? But I'm sure you do that often.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah, there's sometimes when, because I mean, the check-in is usually, what, 3 p.m., something like
yeah,
that sometimes.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's 8 p.m., still have nowhere to stay. I arrive in some random village and find somewhere and go, hello, kind of tail between my legs, like, sorry, it's late.
Well, do you say, like, because I think your scenario is exactly what that is. Like, you, first of all, you're riding the bike. You don't know what weathers you're going to run into. And then you really can't plan that far in advance. Do you let the host know that? Like, hey, I'm on my bike. I'm traveling. That's why, like, I'm not, I maybe made a last
Pretty
minute
much.
Plan.
Yeah, exactly. I'll put a request in and say, look, I appreciate that it's late. And if I can't stay, that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
But this is the situation. I'm riding around and yeah, there's no excuse really, but I'm riding, could have planned it.
No,
there's no, the plan is not to plan. So
exactly.
It's on brand for you to not plan.
Exactly. Yeah.
Have you ever not been able to find a place?
Let's see. I don't believe so. I don't believe so. There's always something, but your standards may have to fall a little, as we saw going through my Airbnb history. Yeah. So that does tend to happen. In the more rural spots, you cannot find a place, I guess, but it's never really happened to me. There's always something. There really is always something.
Yeah. Do you use any filters when you look on Airbnb, like the Superhost filter or instant book? Or
instant book is good for those situations where it is last minute. Instant book's fantastic because then you know it's, or you kind of know that it might be one of those ones where they just give you the code, they don't have to meet you, and it's more likely that they're okay with just someone turning up, you know. And when I want the entire place to myself, which is more often than not, I will take that one. And the Superhost, I would use if I was, say, for example, in the United States, I would use that. Because it's there for a reason, and it works. It's one of those verification things that works. It backs up. It's backed up. You know, it's like, you know, it's going to be good. But like I said, when you're in somewhere rural, it's a little more difficult.
Right. Yeah. You know? You take what you can get.
Exactly. Yeah.
Let's do two different things right now. Let's talk about what are some things, you know, Sarah and I are hosts. We always want to be better hosts.
Yeah.
What are some things that have stood out to you
that were
super memorable that you're like, man, they crushed this, because we want to get better every day. We want our listeners to get better every day. What are some of those things that you've noticed in all of your stays?
I think what it is it's, you can tell in an Airbnb, you can tell the ones where they've put thought into it and they've said, this is going to be an Airbnb and there's going to be people staying. They're going to have these circumstances and they've put thought into it. And there's others that it's just, this is my place. I'm going to put it on there and it'd be fine, you know. And you can really tell those things by the little things, right? For example, in the place I'm in currently, I've realized under the sink, there's, what's it called? The contact lens fluid. Mm-hmm. Who puts contact lens fluid in there? It's amazing. I need some, you know, I needed some. So contact lens fluid, fantastic. Little things like that you think someone's going to want this.
Yeah.
You know?
Or need it because they checked
need
in
it.
Late.
Exactly.
Or,
yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Those, it really is the little touches that separate it. It really is. Because for people like me, the personable touch is, and everyone's different. For a lot of people, the personable touch of meeting you there and being available for everything, that is fantastic. But for me, it's more about those little touches, you know?
Yeah.
Like those little things.
Well, because you're just trying to live your life and you really don't want to skip a beat.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can just check in. If there's contact fluid in there for you, then, you know?
It really is. It's the non-disturbing of what you would be doing anyway. That's what it is. It's a home away from home, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, because I always feel bad that I don't meet my guests. Like, and I often say, like, 99% of the time I do not meet them or see them.
Same here.
And I prefer it that way because I think they prefer it that way.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Mm-hmm. Especially, I mean, they could have been on the road all day.
Yeah.
They just want to get in there, you know?
Meeting a new person takes energy.
Absolutely.
Well, I think you can tell, too, by the way they communicate before their trip.
Yeah.
So I can tell if there's, like, a lot of communication. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to ask if they'd like to meet me or need any personal recommendations. I kind of just feel them out. The other ones where you're like, they instant book, didn't hear anything. They probably just want to do their own thing. I want to now ask, because I want to travel more. Give some tips to our listeners that maybe need to make some time in their schedules or room in their budget. What are some travel tips for on that end for people?
Oh man, that's a large question.
Airbnb.
There you go. Yeah. Let's see. The tips that I always give for travel in general is plan not to plan, which is again quite a bigger thing because some people are planners, mm-hmm. and in certain things I am. But if you can plan not to plan, it's kind of like have a safety net, but know that you never need it.
Right.
Have loose plans, but don't use them. Mm-hmm. Things like that. And then the more tangible ones are when you're packing, lay all your stuff out, half it, throw half of it away.
Oh, that's
and then
a good one.
Take the stuff that you have and then half it again.
Oh wait, I wasn't ready for the other half. Yeah,
that is how you pack. That's
a third of what you need.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or what would that be?
No, that's not a third.
Yeah.
That is, we don't
quarter,
do that.
Yeah.
With Airbnb, the app
no.
And then the other big one is take more money, take less stuff.
Ooh.
That's like just that anyone that's ever traveled anywhere will tell you that exact thing. Take more money, take less stuff. Because
like
you can always buy the stuff.
That's true.
That's true.
You
know?
But then the first trip you take, if you are thinking about taking your first trip, you will take a giant bag, you'll take a suitcase, you'll take something like that. And then halfway through the trip, you'll go, well, I didn't use six of these lipsticks,
right.
You know? Like, it's just, so it happens. And then by the time you get to your 17th trip, your 50th trip, you end up taking one of those bags on the end of a pole that,
right.
in the cartoons. So
I also... We're going to have to put a photo somewhere so our listeners can see. He truly is practicing what he preaches because Hayden has one backpack, correct?
That's right.
I mean, one backpack. I don't know if everybody understands one backpack. That's it. And Hayden, actually, I want to tell our guests what you do for a living because he actually, that's his job. His career is in the backpack and his life is in the backpack. So tell our listeners what you do for a living so they can kind of understand, wait, how is this guy, is he like a trust fund kid on his bike around Europe? So explain to them that you do work and you work full time and you work hard.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, I come from a working class background, working class middle England background, as you can probably hear from my accent. So, full time. I say full time. I'm an executive producer, so I handle the audio for podcasts. Podcasts like this one, and it's all on the laptop. It's one of those things where you read the 4-hour work week and you think, let's give that a go, and then mm-hmm. you never think it'll work out, and then it does, and you go, oh wow, it's kind of like that. So yeah, everything is in everything I need is in the back. In fact, everything I own is in the background the backpack. Yeah, so yeah, it's all in there. And I say this a lot on my show. Everyone thinks that a lot of people think that it's difficult to attain that, difficult to attain a job that you can do on the road. You can go anywhere. It seems so perfect. You know, obviously that can't be for me. But there's so many ways to do it. There's so many ways to do it, depending on what your skill is. Everyone has a skill, regardless of what it is. Everyone has a skill. You don't even have to be the best in the world at it, or even one of the best. You just have to be just better than average at it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, can you... In fact, this is the thing I always say. If you're listening to this right now, you have a major advantage in the fact that you speak English, right? And because you speak English, you could probably, to a certain level, teach English. That's something you can do online. And I've gone through on my podcasts in one of the episodes, I went through a little thing of how you can make that happen. I grew it from just that to like some amount of money per month that you do from wherever. It's so possible. It's 100% possible, whatever your skill is. So... Yeah, I kind of went off on a tangent there. But.
No,
I think inspiring tangent.
Yeah, I think that's probably where we end because that's probably going to give our listeners a lot of food for thought. But let everybody know where they can listen to your podcast because I have to admit I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm very excited because this story is amazing. So I want to hear more of them. So tell us where we can find you.
Cool. So the podcast is called Travel Stories Podcast. You can find that on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to this, actually. And you can find me on Instagram at Backpack Digital.
Awesome.
Wait, I have a quick question.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Are you going to continue to do this? Or will you think you'll ever find a home? Or even if you stay in one town, will you still hop from Airbnb to Airbnb?
That's a large question.
It's a large question.
So I feel nomadic. Well, I have been nomadic for the last 6 years or so. So I do feel nomadic. But I'm turning 30 this year. And I'm getting... these thoughts of I need to find a wife, etc., which I never thought. I'm an old punk rocker. I never thought I'd think that, you know? And so So who knows, but I still can see myself when I'm 50 or when I'm 40 and I've got kids and they're all, and we're all on the plane going to our next house. You know, yeah. I can still see that.
So I'm planning not to plan. That sounds kind of nice.
Exactly.
All right, yeah. I'm into it.
And Hayden's going to Brazil.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, I know, tomorrow.
In a matter of hours,
right. For the next 6 months. So yeah, the travels continue at least for the next 6 months.
Exactly.
Well, thank you for being on the show.
Yeah.
So inspiring.
Yes.
A lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products. From hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers, we've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.